Thank you. I'm Celia, and I'm a project director at Human Impact Partners, and we're in Oakland. And I'm going to start with Kim Gilhooley's presentation. She's a program director with us. And then the next presentation is actually my presentation, so I hope you don't get tired of listening to me. And also, excuse me for being a little bit less familiar with these projects of Kim's and her slides, but I just saw them yesterday for the first time. So Kim's presentation is about incorporating mental health into criminal justice policies, and I think in the original program it was going to be four different HIAs, but actually she ended up wanting to just discuss three, I think, in the interest of time. So Human Impact Partners, really quick, we're a national nonprofit, meaning we work on a national scale, but we're located in California, and our mission is to transform the policies and places people need to live healthy lives by increasing the consideration of health and equity in decision making. And most of our work has been doing HIAs as well as health and all policies projects, and we participate in research but also advocacy around our results, and then we also have a capacity building program. We do a lot of training and technical assistance for others doing HIA and health and all policies work. Michelle already defined HIA, but in case you weren't there for that, it's a process that is systematic and can use qualitative and quantitative evidence and methods to determine health impacts of a proposed decision before the decision is made. And this is just kind of a visual way of showing what HIA does. It looks at how does the proposal affect that rainbow of health, social determinants of health, and then lead to health outcomes. And then the arrow going back to the beginning signifies that another big part of HIA is recommending ways that the proposal can change to be better for health. We think of the purposes of HIAs being kind of twofold. One is through the actual report, like informing what potential health impacts could come out of decisions, highlighting health disparities and providing recommendations, but also importantly through the process. The process engages and empowers communities. It recognizes people's experiences who are going to be impacted by the decision. It does build a lot of relationships in almost every case and that we have had experience with, and improving transparency in decision making. So we really feel like even when the actual HIA doesn't impact the decision in really clear ways, although it usually does in some ways, like even the process is very important. So the three case studies about criminal justice HIAs are the Wisconsin Treatment Instead of Prison HIA, the California Prop 47 HIA, and New York State Tuition Assistance Program HIA. But first, why consider mental health in HIA? Well, the former Surgeon General said there's no health without mental health. Also, the World Health Organization includes mental health in their overall definition of health. And often, mental health is a mediator between social determinants and physical outcomes. So it's part of that complex relationship between things like racism and poverty and then physical health outcomes that those things can lead to. And also the role of mental health in mortality and morbidity is projected to grow. So the first HIA was in Wisconsin. I think this one was in 2012 or 13. And it looks at what would be the health impacts if the state of Wisconsin increased funding for treatment alternative and diversion programs from the 2012 level of $1 million to $75 million. HIP worked with WISDOM, which is a grassroots organization in Wisconsin that focuses a lot on criminal justice issues. And for mental health, I think the overall HIA question, which looks at many other things too, but for the mental health portion, since that's what this session is focusing on, the research question was how would increasing funding for drug courts, mental health courts, and diversion programs impact recovery from substance abuse and ability to manage mental health? Drug courts offer people facing criminal charges for drug use and possession an opportunity to enter treatment instead of just going straight to jail. And the Treatment Alternative and Diversion Program, or TAD, would fund those rather than just having people going straight to prison. People might have more opportunities to get treatment. And Kim noted that TAD programs are not necessarily the best answer, because the best answer might be that people get mental health and substance abuse treatment outside of the criminal justice system entirely, but they certainly are a good step in the right direction, because instead of going to prison, people could get help and actually their health could improve. So this shows the overall findings, I think, from the whole HIA, but maybe just focus in on the increased recovery impact. The HIA found that a $75 million total for the TAD program in Wisconsin would improve people's access to treatment, and it would allow all eligible offenders to have access to the drug court treatment programs, and also improve efficacy of treatment. Of note is that the HIA found, doing existing conditions research, that 70% of Wisconsin prisoners have substance abuse problems and 30% have mental health issues. So this actually has the potential to affect a lot of people. And Kim said that everything in this table, they felt like there was very strong evidence for everything in here, and she was really confident about all of these results. So the outcomes of this HIA, it got legislative support from both Democrats and Republicans, which was amazing at a time when the state of Wisconsin was pretty conservative. And the final outcome was that the funding increased from $1 million to $4 million, so just by $3 million rather than going all the way to $75. But they still, everyone involved in the HIA, but also other advocacy around this, was happy to have at least something. And then also importantly, there is an increase in the number of treatment programs, which meant that there was a big increase in the number of people who didn't go to prison and instead got treatment. The HIA also led to new relationships and new ongoing partnerships. Wisdom Today is still working on HIAs. And public awareness and kind of changing the frame, which I think, yeah. David Liners, the director of Wisdom, said this quote, I'm not gonna read it, but his biggest point is that the HIA changed the questions people ask about criminal justice. It shifted the discussion. It changed the discussion from identifying addiction and mental illness as public health concern rather than just criminal. So the next HIA that I'll talk about is on Prop 47 in California. So Prop 47 was in California in 2014, and it proposed to change 6 crimes from felonies to misdemeanors. And wobblers, I just learned, means it's a crime that can either be charged as a felony or misdemeanor, depending on the prior history of the person who is charged with it. So changing those 6 crimes from felonies or wobblers to misdemeanors. So drug possession, petty theft, shoplifting, receiving stolen property, writing bad checks, and forgery for small amounts under $950. And so an important thing for mental health in this session is that the savings from doing that would be reinvested into substance abuse and mental health treatment, truancy prevention, and victim services. Um, So the HIA findings in this case were that the money that would go towards the root causes of crime, like mental health and substance abuse, would lead to positive impacts. The HIA found that one of every four people in prison, I'm assuming this is in California prisons, is severely mentally ill, and four out of five people in prison who could benefit from substance abuse treatment don't receive it. And also alcohol and drugs are involved in a big majority of all crimes. Another thing is that the HIA predicted that between $130 and $195 million would go into the mental health and substance abuse treatment due to Prop 47. Besides mental health, the HIA also looked at a bunch of other things, like overarching number, what's the impact on the numbers of people in prisons, what's the impact on the state budget, public safety, family impacts, employment, and yeah, and then the mental health stuff. So how was the HIA used? HIP worked with a big group of other partners on this that had their own advocacy already going, and the HIA findings were used in a lot of their advocacy materials. Some of them are listed here. Also, some of the partners use the HIA data in writing op-eds. And Kim noted that one sheriff's department actually called the website that was created for this HIA the most easily understandable information out there on the effects of Prop 47, which is a big compliment because there is actually a lot of advocacy going on in the state around Prop 47. And our offering was a health frame, but there's a lot of other great advocacy already happening. So Prop 47 passed with 59% of the vote. It's a national example. Other states are trying to do it too. These are some of the impacts. Over 4,500 people have been released from prison. Prisons have reached lower Supreme Court ordered levels. There's less jail overcrowding. Tens of thousands more have not been arrested or are charged with a misdemeanor for the low-level offenses. And over 160,000 people have applied for expungement, meaning that they can have the conviction wiped from their record. So they'll no longer have a felony on their record. So there's a lot of awareness stuff going on in the state right now to try to make everyone aware that they can have things taken off their record. So the third and final HIA that I'll talk about for criminal justice is the Tuition Assistance Program, or TAP. There was, in New York, a tuition assistance program for people in prison until 1994. And it combined with Pell Grants to help incarcerated people in New York prisons enroll in college. In 1994, the governor ended the practice. And then they're currently trying to get it back. And the HIA looked at the health impacts of having tuition assistance program back in the prison. So the findings were that college education, well, this is especially probably leaning towards mental health findings. College education boosts self-respect and self-esteem, it improves judgment, and these all contribute to a safer and more engaged community, better family environments, safer prison environments, and also people gaining education in prison are less likely to go back to prison. The HIA offered new angles in the discussion, once again, just like the other two criminal justice HIAs that we've done. Advocacy was already ongoing, but this added a new angle, which was critical thinking skills are a mediator for a chance of getting a job, reuniting with family, and not returning to prison, all things that impact health. And there was a well-covered press conference with legislators. Oh, I remember the lead researcher being really excited about this woman who gave this quote, a formerly incarcerated student said, you're not just educating prisoners, you're educating society. I'm a mom of four, I'm helping stop the cycle. So she was able to get an education while she was in prison, and it carries over into her own life and her own family. It's pretty powerful. So we had a website for this HIA as well, Turning on the Tap. There was a ton of social media. However, the bill didn't pass in New York. But New York has a 2-year cycle, so the partners that worked on this HIA with HIP, they're hopeful for the next year. Other criminal justice HIAs that we've been involved with that I won't talk about, but they're at least the first one is on our website and finished. The first one was about gang injunctions in Santa Ana, California. And then there's one that we're working on now on community police relations in Ohio. So we're building a big base of HIAs in criminal justice. It's one of our priorities that we have focused on. So in conclusion on this set of HIAs, the criminal justice system practices and policies have severe impacts on mental health. Because people in prison is racially disproportionate, the mental health impacts are also racially disproportionate. And HIA can be a tool to bring health into discussions around this and also focus on health over punishment, especially for issues like mental health, drug abuse. HIA can help them be framed as health issues rather than just criminal issues. And that's all for Kim's presentation. There's her email in case anyone has, I can answer questions later at the end too, but if I can't answer anything, that's her contact info. Also, she listed other co-authors on all three of the HIAs, a bunch of people at our organization worked on them. Okay, shall I move on?